a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa imam. Should I start? Okay, all right. Okay, so I'm starting. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. We are in the sixth day of the first 10 days of the Hijjah, the best days of the first days of the first 10 days of the Hijjah, which are the best days of the year in which we are most beloved and rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us endeavor to increase in our good deeds, just like in Ramadan. We're just about 3 days away from Eid al-Adha, which comes up on Wednesday, the 27th of May, 2026. May Allah spare our lives to witness it and provide for us. On the Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence in society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. This program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page, and join to view the studio. Later on in the program, we'll open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. The program again is Everyday Muslim, is brought to you by Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC, in partnership with Women Radio. Today, inshallah, we're looking at lessons of sacrifice from Prophet Ibrahim to our children. And just like you know, we are in the season of the Eid al-Adha, and a lot of things around Eid al-Adha and Hajj revolves around the family of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So today we are looking at the lessons of sacrifice from Prophet Ibrahim to our children. And our guest discussant is Imam Ridwan Jamil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Imam.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. So for those of us that are probably meeting Imam for the first time, Imam Ridwanullah Khan Dejami is the Imam of Lekki Muslim Ummah, the Lekki Muslim community. I bagged his LLB in Common and Islamic Law from the University of Ilorin. He attended the Nigerian Law School Lagos State Campus for his Barrister at Law certificate. He also obtained his Master's in Law degree, LLM, from Bayero University, Kano. And he obtained his PhD, that is Doctor of Philosophy in Law at the Lagos State University. He attended Muhyiddin College of Arabic and Islamic Studies in Law for his Thanawiyah and Diploma in Islamic and Arabic Education. He is a marriage counselor, and he consults on Islamic social finance and estate planning. He is a member of the Nigerian Institute of Chartered Arbitrators. He has published a lot of books in different aspects, including in Islamic finance, where he wrote Wealth Creation and Circulation Islamic Perspective in Arabic language. He published a textbook, Teach Yourself Arabic Within a Short Time, and many other works. He's a Hafiz of the Quran, that is, a memorizer of the Quran, and he's the current chief imam of Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki Phase 1, Lagos, Alhamdulillah. So moving on into the topic, every year during the Hijjah, Muslims across the world remember one of the most powerful stories ever told, that is the story of Prophet Ibrahim, his family, and the extraordinary test of faith Allah placed before them. Remember the sacrifice, remember their obedience, remember their unwavering submission to Allah. But if you are honest, many of us hear this story every year without truly asking ourselves, what does this story demand from me today? So because sacrifice is not only about the ram we slaughtered during the Eid al-Adha, sometimes it also means letting go of pride. Sometimes it implies choosing Allah over our desires. Sometimes it means protecting our children from influences that may destroy their faith. And sometimes sacrifice means becoming the kind of parents, Muslims, or believers that Allah is pleased with. So at a time when many families are struggling with moral confusion, weakened spirituality, peer pressure, social media influence, and the fear of losing their children to a world moving further away from faith, the household of Prophet Ibrahim, our mother Hajar and Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam, gives us timeless lessons in obedience, trust, parenting, and spiritual leadership. So beyond the celebration, the clothes, and the meat shared during the Eid, what exactly should Muslims today be learning from this remarkable family? So today on Everyday Muslim, we explore the deeper meaning of sacrifice and what Muslim families can learn from one of the greatest households in Islamic history. So to begin with, yeah, Imam. So when many people hear the word sacrifice during Eid al-Adha, their minds go straight away to slaughtering an animal. But beyond the ritual of slaughtering itself, what deeper message is Allah teaching humanity through the story of Prophet Ibrahim? Yeah, Imam. Bismillah.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our God. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our leader, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family and the companions. I greet every one of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many stories in the Quran so that we can learn from the people who came before us. We learn from those who submitted themselves, their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can also see their examples. Allah tells us about good people in the Quran. Likewise, He tells us about bad people in the Quran. So He tells us about good people so that you can take them as our role models and model our lives after theirs, and so that we can be successful as they were successful, and so that we can be prosperous as they were prosperous. He also tells us about bad people so that we can avoid their ways, and their feet won't be our own feet as well. One of the great stories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran is the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He tells us this story repeatedly in many places in the Quran. We even have a chapter that is named after this great personality. We have Surah to Ibrahim in the Quran. So whenever we are celebrating the Eid of Sacrifice, the festival of sacrifice, we should understand it beyond the animal we sacrifice. There are deeper meanings to this sacrifice than just this animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to see how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how he demonstrated what a Muslim is meant to be. A Muslim is someone who willingly submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He submits himself to do what Allah azza wa jalla wants, even though that may go against his own desires. And a Muslim is someone who always puts Allah first in everything he does. He puts Allah first in everything he does. And that was how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was. A Muslim is someone who is ready to give up everything, even his life. If the dearest thing to him, the dearest thing to him, a Muslim is ready to give it up. If that is what will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Ibrahim saw in a dream that he sacrificed his only son then, because Ismail was the only son he had then when this dream came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to sacrifice him to him, and he wanted to do it. So the philosophy is, who gave me this thing? It is not Allah. Even myself, who gave me my life? Allah. So why do I argue with Allah? Why do I hesitate to carry out what my Lord wants from me? Whatever is attached to me is not actually mine, it's his. He's the one who gave them to me. Because even my life doesn't belong to me. This is why the principal Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam lived his life with was Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillah rabbil alameen. Say, inna salati, my worship, wa nusuki, my sacrifice, wa mahyaya, my life, wa mamati, my death, lillah. They all belong to Allah. La sharika la. Allah does not have any partner, and is not going to have any partner in my life. I put him first because I belong to him. My children belong to him. My wealth belongs to him. My life belongs to him. The world in which I found myself belongs to him. There was a time when I was not living. Now, I came to this world not by my power, not by the power of my parents, but by the will and wish of Allah. My forms do not belong to me. I didn't shape myself. I didn't give myself this kind of form Allah gave me. My parents did not give me this kind of form. By gender, whether you are a male or a female, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who actually chose your gender for you. If Allah has done everything for you and it sustains you, the food you eat, the drink you take, the air you enjoy, every facilities of life you use, the water you drink, everything comes from Allah. It's Allah who provides it. We can't provide anything. So if Allah is doing everything for us and he has created us, why shouldn't we submit ourselves to his will? So Allah wants true submission. True submission, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And that was what Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated. And you see how Allah rewarded true submission. Allah showed us from his example that if you truly submit yourself, you sacrifice your wishes for the wish of Allah. You sacrifice your desire for the desire of Allah. You sacrifice, everything you have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will get it back and you will have good ending. You will have this dunya, you will have the hereafter. In this world, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is highly elevated. You can see every year when we sacrifice this animal, we remember this tradition of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is how humanity will ever remember him till this world comes to an end. This is how he will be reminded, he will be remembered until the world ends. Every Muslim, every year, look at the number of animals we sacrifice every year. The sacrifice Prophet Ibrahim was prepared to do then now became a sacrifice of animal. He wanted to sacrifice his desire, his wish, his love for the love of Allah, because his child was definitely his love. He was old before Allah gave him this child, yet Allah commanded him to sacrifice him just to test him. And he was prepared to do it because it was Allah who gave this to him. But in return, Allah returned this sacrifice for love, for his love, for the love of Allah. Allah gave him this sacrifice that became a tradition for us. Give your life to Allah and you will have it. If you want to have your life, just give it to Allah who gave you that life. That is, try to please him in everything you do. live by Allah, live for Allah, live with Allah, and you will be happy you do that. You have good ending, and your hereafter will also be good. That's the lesson Allah wants us to learn. True submission, how it should be, and the reward for true submission and true sacrifice to Allah.
All right. Thank you, Imam. Jazakumullah khairan for that. Now, looking at the fact that Prophet Ibrahim was willing to surrender what was most beloved to him for the sake of Allah. Today we have many Muslims may not face that exam same test or probably having to sacrifice their child. But many are deeply attached to comfort, wealth, their careers, their social approval of the people, entertainment and personal desires. So in your own view, what are some of the major sacrifices modern Muslims struggle to make for Allah today?
The sacrifice, as we said, as we make this sacrifice of animals every year, we should remember that to truly become to be a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must make sacrifices. These sacrifices of animal should remind us that if you want to be a true Muslim in the sight of Allah, you need to make some sacrifices and you need to make some compromise. You may have to sacrifice some of your enjoyments to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may be enjoying your sleep in the night and you remember to wake up for Allah to do tahajjud. It's a sacrifice. It won't go in vain. You know, everybody loves money. You have a lot of things to do with your money, but you want to sacrifice a part of it in zakat, in charity, in endowments, in taking care of the poor and the needy, your relatives. This sacrifice will earn you great honor in the sight of Allah. Without it, you may not be able to win Allah's love. This is another way through which Muslims do sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by giving out their money in charity. Allah has said, "Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." By no means will you attain righteousness in the sight of Allah. You can't become righteous until hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you give out of what you love. We love wealth, but to become a true servant of Allah and to become righteous in the sight of Allah, you must be prepared to part away with some of your wealth for the poor and the needy. After all, Allah has not demanded all our wealth from us. The same thing, you sacrifice your food and drink when you are fasting in the month of Ramadan. Yes, it's a sacrifice that Muslims do in order to win the love of Allah. When you go for Hajj, it's a big sacrifice, because the time you spend when you go for Hajj, you could have made some money from your businesses, yet you want to sacrifice that time for Allah. Look at the amount of money we take to perform Hajj. You know, it's a sacrifice that you make, and these sacrifices will never go in vain. These are some of the instances when Muslims sacrifice some of their belongings to Allah and their time. But one of the greatest sacrifices Muslims made in the past is those who sacrificed even their lives for Allah. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why all those who came after them, they can never come near their status in the sight of Allah. Because of many battles, many of them participated in, many of them were martyred. Many of them were martyred during this battle. And it is out of Allah's love, it's out of faith in Allah and true belief in the hereafter. They sacrificed. It's only one soul everybody carries. Yet, they were prepared to sacrifice that soul for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why they are the greatest in the sight of Allah, because of the many battles they fought and alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as Muslims, we must know that without sacrifice, we can never attain righteousness in the sight of Allah. Sometimes this sacrifice is called a jihad. Jihad, because jihad actually means sacrificing your time, your wealth, your position, or to do what? To defend Islam, to promote the cause of Allah. So without this, you can't be a true Muslim unless you are prepared to sacrifice from what Allah has given you, and to win Allah's love. That's how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did. He wanted to sacrifice the son he had, then the only son that he had, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah established through him that in Islam, There won't be anything like a human ritual. There won't be anything like a blood ritual. There won't be any part of a human being will never be used in order to please Allah. A human being will never be killed as a ritual in order to please Allah. This is not part of Islam. But Allah only wanted us to see how sacrifice, you know, how prepared Prophet Ibrahim was to sacrifice his only son then, and so that we can learn a lesson of true submission from him, and how rewarding it is when you give sacrifices to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, Imam, one remarkable aspect of the story of the Ibrahim family is that the entire family submitted to Allah's command. Ibrahim obeyed, Hajar trusted, and Ismail accepted. So what does this teach us about building a spiritually healthy home and family culture today?
Alhamdulillah. It's the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is very interesting. Allah told us this story about his sacrifice in Quran chapter 19 of the Quran. I mean, Quran chapter 37 of the Quran, Surah 2, Saffat, from verse 100 downward to like verse 113. So this, when the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw this dream that he sacrificed Ismail, so he did not just wait for Ismail to be sleeping, then he would just rush to him and slaughter him while he was asleep. He didn't do that. So he did not, you know, hide this information from his wife, Hajar. So what he did was he consulted them. Allah told us in the Quran, and when he said to Ismail, Ya Bunai, oh my son, inni ara fil manam, I have been seeing in my dreams, anni akhbaruk, that I sacrifice you to Allah. So what did the son say? He said, Ya Abbas, oh Allah, my father, if Alima took mouth, do as you have been commanded to do. Fatajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Insha'Allah, I will be patient in the with this. I will be patient. Subhanallah. Allah said, Falamma aslama wa tallahu lil jabin. When both of them submitted to Allah and he laid down the lad in order to slaughter him, Allah called out to him, Ya Ibrahim, we are only testing you. You are not going to kill your son. We are only testing you. So the lesson here is when the father talked with Ismail, which is not what is obtainable in some families today, whereby parents no longer talk with their children, they only talk to them. We talk to them. Talking with one's children is hearing them out, listening to them, listening to their opinions and views about something, so especially when they are becoming adults. You know, they are not getting younger, they are getting older. Ismail was still very small at this stage when, because the mom, he said, Ya Bunai, oh my son, my little son. So this is what I've seen in my dream. So Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, his father sought his opinion about this matter, even though he's going to be the victim and it's a very serious matter that could cost him his life. Yet he discussed this matter with him despite his seriousness. But Allah showed us here how obedience, how submissive that family was. Ismail told his father, you should go ahead, dad, and do as you have been commanded. What we have to take from this is for parents, when you have been very submissive to Allah, obedient to Allah, and you are sincere in your worship of Allah, Allah is likely going to give you children who will also be like you, and rewarding you for your sincere submission to Allah and honest relationship with people. So if you have been upright, you are very sincere in your worship of Allah, Allah has a way of rewarding you by making your children to be like you, to follow in your footsteps if you have been like that. And particularly when women are very submissive to their husbands, they are honest in their relationship with their husbands, Allah often blesses their children to become upright. Hajar was very upright. We all know the story when how he was brought to Mecca, how he submitted to the decree of Allah, and how he submitted to the command of our husband. So now see the kind of child, son that Allah gave her from his father, from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So his son that was also submissive. That's why it's often said, Hardly would you see a woman who is truly sincere with his husband, obedient to his husband, respectful to his husband, whose children would not become righteous and prosperous. Any woman who is very respectful to his husband, to her husband, who is very obedient to her husband, submissive to her husband, and honest in her relationship with her husband, their children are likely going to be righteous and they are going to be prosperous. So this is a lesson we should learn from this family. And also, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, being a submissive man, this shows that he has been working on the faith of members of his family, on his wife, Hajar, or his son, Ismail. He has been talking to them. He has been discussing with them. This will not be the first instance when he will be talking to Ismail, because if it had been the first time, the child wouldn't have listened to his father like that. It means that he has been training them. It's always good. As leaders of the family, we men, we should find time to sit with our family and talk about tawheed, about faith, about love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a study circle in our family whereby we read something that can grow our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our families.
Allahumma ameen. All right. Jazakumullah khairan. Now, talking about the fact that I love the way you, the angle from which you came in, that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam actually discussed with Ismail. So that story showed the kind of interaction that actually played out. It's been like a kind of regular routine between father and son, and they do have this kind of discussion. So we know quite well that today many parents don't really want righteous children. But the voices competing for their children's attention today are louder than ever. Social media, peer pressure, celebrity culture, and moral confusion. So from the example of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what does raising children upon faith truly require beyond merely telling them what is halal and what is haram?
Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So what we can also learn, in if you want to raise our children, especially during this challenging period, whereby we have so many ways through which these children are being trained in not necessarily our own way. So the internet has become the third agent of socialization now, and is actually misleading members of our family, especially the younger generations, the children. So what we need to do in order to ensure that our children grow in faith and they are upright and righteous, is one, as a parent, be like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah himself praises him in the Quran. Allah says, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen shakiran li'an'imi ijtabahu wahdahu ila siratin mustaqim. Inna Ibrahim kana umma. Ibrahim was an umma in himself. An umma here means a leader who is worthy of emulation. Anyone who is not worthy of emulation is a failure. So as a parent, you know, Allah wants us not to be fathers and mothers alone. Allah wants us to be parents. You know, parent is someone who has a child and he has time to educate them and raise them, not only providing the material needs of these children, but their spiritual and intellectual needs as well. So Allah says, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, kana umma. He was an umma, that is an exemplar. He was someone who was worthy of emulation. So as a parent, try to be worthy of emulation. Let your children see you pray. Let us see them. Your children see you being decent in speech, the way you talk. When they see you pray, let them see how you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that love should be demonstrated in the way you stand before Allah, and in the way you talk to Allah, and the way you compose yourself when you are praying before Allah. Let them see that you truly believe in Allah and you love Him. That will also trickle down to your children, and it will help them a lot. So be an example. Do not be a father who just talks anyhow, he sees bad things. Do not be a woman who is always gossiping, who is always backbiting, who is always cursing. Let them learn good things from you. That's one of the ways through which we can get our children to grow in faith and to be righteous. When you are righteous, your children are likely going to become righteous, because they speak our languages and they often behave like us. Children are very bad at listening, but they are very good at imitating. They are very bad at listening, but they are very good at imitating. They may not listen, but they see everything. You may not even know the they see. So we should be good examples for them. We are the first teachers of our children, whether we like it or not. So you don't have to hold a piece of chalk or marker before you become a teacher. The way you talk, the way you pray, the way you relate with your spouse, the way you relate with your neighbors, the way you relate with your parents, the way you relate with your relatives, the way you relate at work, everything they are learning from it. If you are upright in your relationship and in your conduct, your children are also likely going to be righteous and upright, inshallah. Another thing is that we should, as we said before, have a time with your children, with your children when you discuss Allah. You talk about things, you listen to them, you listen to their challenges. They are free to open up to you. Whatever challenges they may be facing, they are not afraid to tell you their minds. Even if they are doing what is bad, they still know that they have listening parents who will not judge them. But they will listen to them and guide them. So they want parents who will not judge them, but parents who will listen to them and guide them. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated the way he spoke with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Another thing we need to do is to always pray, because we can see in the Quran that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to pray for his family. Mm-hmm. He used to say, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. This is just one of his many prayers in the Quran. We need to always pray for our parents, our children, so that they can become righteous and good. And finally, under that, to get our children to become righteous is to be nice to our parents. Even Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a monotheist, a true Muslim, and his father was a mushrik. Yet he used to talk with his father. He never abandoned his father until his father died or until they were separated, when the father became violent towards him. So he was saying, Ya Abati, Inni kodija animna al-ilmi ma'lam ya'atika fattabi'ini ahdika siratan sawiyya. Ya Abati, la ta'budu shaytan. Ya Abati, inni akhafan ya masaka azabu min al-shaytan, min al-rahman wa ta'qnilif. Ya Abati, Dad, my father, he never disowned his father, even though he was a mushrik. He never denied his paternity, even though he was mushrik. And he said, I will even be praying for you as long as Allah has not stopped me from doing this. And he was praying for his father, even in his absence, until when his father passed away, and he got to know about his passing. That was when Allah asked him to stop praying for him, because you don't pray for anyone who dies not on Islam. That was when he stopped praying for his father. So the blessing there is, if you want righteous children, be a righteous child to your parents as long as you have them. The way you treat your parents, your children are likely going to treat you the same way. One of the ways to which Allah rewards us for being nice and good to our parents is to make us find happiness in our children. May Allah bless us and bless our parents and bless our children.
Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. The program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio Night 1.7 FM. We'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us. You're welcome back. The program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. And today we are discussing lessons of sacrifice from Prophet Ibrahim to our children, because, you know, we are in the season of Eid, and we are looking at the lessons of the sacrifice from Prophet Ibrahim to our children. And our guest discussant is Imam Ridwanullah Jamil. Dr. Imam Ridwanullah Kadi Jami, who is the chief imam at Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki Phase 1, Lagos. He is a memorizer of the Quran. He is an author, a public speaker, a married counselor, a man of many parts. By training, he is, a barrister at law. So he has his LLM, LLB, LLM, now, PhD in law, from different universities in Nigeria. And he is a man of many parts, like I said. So you can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000 917 917, 07000 917 917. And the toll-free line for our female callers is 0800-235-917, 0800-235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. The program again is Everyday Muslim and is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center and Park in partnership with Merid 91.7 FM. We are seeking your sponsorship and have a placement to keep this program going. We look up to you for your support and assistance. And the program again is streaming live on YouTube via the Merid Radio page. You can search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page and join in to view the studio live, and also send your comments via the live feeds. Right, so Imam, now, looking at the fact that we live in a world that constantly promotes messages like, follow your desires, do whatever makes you happy, live for yourself, it's just one life that you've got. So, but meanwhile, Islam teaches submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can believers, especially young people, understand submission to Allah as something liberating and meaningful rather than restrictive or burdensome? To say, I don't mind them, they don't want you to enjoy your life. That's why they are saying, do this, or don't do this, don't do this. So how do we cope with these pressures in the society as, believers, to say that we want a life that is, meaningful, and at the same time that is balanced, but at the same time we also don't want it to be something that will seem like too restrictive or too burdensome?
Alhamdulillah. So our Islam needs to be properly understood by the young people, as everyone must properly understand Islam. Islam provides a balanced approach to everything in life. Islam doesn't want to be in the two extremes, So the extremism of abandoning the religious practices and rites, and the extremism of going overboard about it. Islam strikes a balance between spirituality and materialism. So just as Allah has provided two eyes for us, He has given us two legs to walk. If you are looking with only one eye, you may not be able to see well and clearly like someone who looks with the two eyes. Mm. The same thing if you walk with only one leg, you may not be like someone who walks with both one. If you want to carry a load, you want to carry it with one hand, it can never be like someone who carries that load with the two hands. So this is why even in our life, Allah knows that we can't live alone. He created a mate for us. Mm-hmm. So we live as the mates and the females, and husbands and wives. The same thing, He has created events of life in pair. So we have a day, we have the night, we have land, we have the sea. So the same way He has created this world, and He has created another one to which no one can doubt. So we need to let the young people know that as we are in this world, we are only here to stay temporarily. So, and Islam does not say that we should not enjoy this world. Islam only says that don't enjoy it at the expense of your salvation hereafter, because you still have a long journey ahead of you. So where you are now, you were not there before. If you are 30 years old today, 31 years back, you were not here, and nobody knew that someone like you will be born into this world. Even your parents did not know that. So if you are 20 years old today, just add a year to it. 21 years back, nobody knew that someone like you would be born into this world. So it is Allah who brought you into this world, and is one who has promised us that after this world, when we die, He's going to resurrect us again. And He has shown us this in the fact that we sleep every day and we rise the other day. As we sleep, that's how we are going to die one day. As we rise the other day, that is how we are going to be resurrected after death. So this happens, on a recurrence every day, just to keep us reminded that our life cycle is, we must remember this life cycle, that as we are here, we are going to pass away one day, and we are going to live again. So this is why our dua has always been, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. This is the dua every Muslim says every day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say it frequently. So it means, our Lord, grant us the good of this world, grant us the good of the hereafter, and safeguard us from the punishments of the hellfire. So a Muslim should be focused on three things. The first one is how to be happy in this world, how to live a meaningful life in this world. But you should always remember that no matter how happy you are, or wealthy, rich, known, you may become a celebrity in this world, a day is coming when you are going to leave this world. You don't even know when, you don't know how, you don't know where. And when you go back, you are going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ahead of you, hereafter, you have two worlds to live. You either go to a world that is known as Jannah, which is paradise, and the place of the peak of enjoyment and comfort you can ever imagine. That's a world. The other world is known as Jahannam, hellfire. Just think of any suffering, the worst suffering you can ever think of. You find it in Jahannam, and your fate lies in your choices in this world. So whatever you choose to, where you are, here we are actually here to choose where we want to spend our eternity. Where you want to spend your eternity, is this in Jahannam or in Jannah? We are here to choose. So there is nothing bad in living this world at its best, but not at the expense of the hereafter. So when you submit yourself to Allah, you will see that you are the one that is really liberated. You are the one that is civilized. You are the one that actually has understanding, and you are the best. You have the best philosophy of life instead of those who have philosophy that is myopic. Mm. They don't see beyond their nose. You see this world and you see the hereafter. Your life will be more meaningful, more disciplined, and you will be happier and prosperous, righteous, much more prosperous even than others who do not believe in the hereafter. Criminals are never happy. They only feign happiness. Mm. They pretend to be happy. They are never happy. Those who do not submit themselves to worship Allah, they are not actually happy. How do you, if Allah has given you the sweetness of faith in submission, you will see that sweetness in submitting to Allah is not comparable to anything in this world. But the sweetness of the pudding lies in its tasting. See, if you have not tasted it, you may not even know how it works. So be submissive to Allah. That is when you can be truly liberated and you will be a truly civilized person.
Mm. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now that we are getting gradually closer to Eid, just about 3 or 4 days now, we'll be in Eid. For many families, that Eid has gradually become more focused on, food. What are we slaughtering? Are we slaughtering a cow, or we're slaughtering a ram, or actually even a camel or a goat? Or fashion, what do we wear, or where do we go, outings and celebration? Well, the spiritual lessons sometimes receive little attention. So what practical conversations should Muslim families intentionally have during this season to preserve the true essence of sacrifice and obedience beyond just the food, the drinks, or the clothing?
Alhamdulillah, the Eid is meant to be a time of reflection, and it is a time of merriment. So we are relaxed and, we share the joys of the moments of the holiday. Yet, beyond that, so we should always remember why this Eid. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got to Medina, according to Anas bin Malik, he said he found out that the people of Medina, they had 2 days in which they used to play and relax. Then the Prophet said, Allah has given you 2 days that are better than those 2 days, your festivals. The first one is Yawm al-Adha, the other one is Yawm al-Fitri. The celebration, the festival of breaking your fast after Ramadan, and the celebration of completing the Hajj pilgrimage. This fasting in the month of Ramadan is an act of worship, is a pillar of Islam. So the pilgrimage that is also marked, the end of which is marked when we do our Eid, is also another pillar of Islam, which means that our festivals are positioned strategically at the end, or to mark the end and celebrate the end of two annual religious observances. Mm. One is the fasting, the other one is the pilgrimage to the annual and the universal, because it's something that is not done by a Muslim of a particular locality or an individual Muslim. It's done collectively. Fasting is done collectively by all Muslims throughout the world. The same thing, Hajj gathers all nationals of all countries of the world. Every tribe is represented at Hajj. So it is something that is worth celebrating. So this should remind us about the universality of Islam, the unity of Islam, and the fact that we have to uphold Islamic brotherhood, and we should see beyond our colors, we should see beyond our languages, we should see beyond our borders, we should see beyond our status and our classes. We should always see Islam and Muslims, and we should always respect Islamic brotherhood. And everything that can strengthen that brotherhood, we should always go for it and do it, because it's something that is greatly pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it gives us a sense of happiness and joy and pride that as Muslims, we are doing the same thing. And this is unique with us in Islam. It's only in Islam you will see something like this, that our festival is not determined by people, it's determined by Allah himself, and it's done after having accomplished one of the pillars of Islam. So it's something that we should be happy with, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to this religion, and we should be happy about that. Yet, in being happy, we should ensure that our happiness, in order to sustain it, we should let others be happy, because happiness is reciprocal. When you give it, you have it. Mm. This is why in the two festivals, you will see that the first one after Ramadan, we are told or we are instructed to give out zakat al-fitri, in order to make the poor and the needy happy on that day. And also the animals we sacrifice on the Eid al-Adha is divided into three parts. A part of it is meant for the poor. So every time Allah does something that makes you happy happy for you, remember the poor and the needy, then Allah will sustain your happiness. Hmm. So we should not go overboard about this, and we should not focus only on ourselves. We should remember the poor and the needy, remember our relatives, our neighbors, and the less fortunate, so that we can always be fortunate if you remember these people and we support them. May Allah make it a happy Eid for all the Muslims and the humanity.
Allahumma ameen. Now, on a final note, because now that we have gone through all this, talking about how we should relate with ourselves, our parents with children, with people around us, around during this celebration and others like that. Now, I know quite well that as we speak right now, there are parents listening who are worried about their children. There are young people who are struggling with identity and faith. There are families trying to uphold, trying hard to hold on to their Islamic values in these difficult times. So what one lesson from the story of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, do you believe has the power to truly transform a believer's relationship with Allah and their family life as we close?
Yes, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a big exemplar for us. So we have so many to learn from him. So as a believer, see that the name Ibrahim repeats itself in many places in the Quran. Each time Allah talks about him, Allah says, Ibrahim Hanifa, 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 a monotheist. And after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ibrahim is the greatest of all the prophets of Allah. Mm. And even Allah says something he never said about any other prophet. Mm. Allah said, وَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah chose Ibrahim as his special friend. He's a special friend of Allah. Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has preserved his mention for all humanity because of what? Mm. How did he get there? How? There is no unconditional love with Allah. This I don't tell people in marriage. When you say your husband does not love you, I ask, are you lovable? Hmm. When you say that your wife doesn't love you, are you lovable as a man? So if you want to earn Allah's love, you have to work for it. Love is earned. if you want the kind of end mention that the Prophet Ibrahim has, and it becomes, you know, something, a great person in the sight of Allah, look at the tradition of the slaughtering animal every year. Look at the number of animals that are slaughtered in commemoration of the sacrifice this man wanted to do. So it's because he was prepared to obey Allah in all ramifications. So you too, as a believer, to try to submit yourself to Allah, try to be identified with Islamic identity and Islamic faith, uphold it wherever you are. You will be happy you do that. Some things Allah asked Prophet Ibrahim to do were actually difficult. Like sacrificing his son was difficult, but was prepared to do it. That was not the only thing Allah commanded Prophet Ibrahim to do. There were many other things. Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Allah tested him with several instructions, and he faithfully implemented each one of them. Call. It was then Allah declared, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I've appointed you as a leader for mankind. As a leader for mankind. How did he justify this position? Because of his submissiveness to Allah. Because he identified with Allah. He chose Allah over every other thing. He made Allah first in his life. He sacrificed his desires for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Now he got everything. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَا أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. In this world, we awarded him. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. In the hereafter, he's going to be among the righteous people. How did Allah reward him in this world? Allah blessed his life. He had wealth. Apart from that, all the prophets that came after him, they were from his progeny. They are either from Prophet Ismail or they are from Prophet Ishaq, his second son. All the prophets that came after him, they were his descendants. That's how Allah blessed him in this world. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a descendant of Prophet Ibrahim. The Qibla we face, whenever we pray, if you don't face Qibla, you don't have Salat, was built by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and so many other things. That is how Allah has elevated him in this one, the hereafter. So when you identify yourself with Allah, you choose Allah, you are going to have this world, and you are going to have the hereafter.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah give us the wherewithal to be able to uphold his dictates. May Allah make us faithful servants of his. May Allah give us the wherewithal to be able to submit wholly to his dictates. Allahumma Ameen. Imam Jazakumullah Khair. I would like to thank you very much for the insights that you have shared on the program today, for pieces of advice that you've given us, and for those messages that you have given us on how we can actually uphold our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you abundantly and all that he has endowed you with. And to all of us that are also listening, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. And as we prepare for Eid al-Adha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us witness the Eid. May Allah provide for